and welcome to our Coffee and Hustle podcast. And today I am so excited. This is such a very good topic that all of us need to really tune up and listen in, because this is something I think we all are going through and something that I think we should be aware of. And I have a wonderful guest on, and we're going to talk about transforming women's healthcare. And I think this is just a wonderful topic with the Cove Telehealth for Women. So I will let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her business, and we'll go into some really great topics today. And I want to talk about a lot of things that might be on this podcast that maybe really tune us in, and maybe you can give her a call and see if she can help you with it. So give us a little bit of insight about who you are and what you do.
All right. Hey, Carla. Happy to be here today. My name is Adrienne Garbarino. I am a family nurse practitioner. I have been for almost 15 years now. And earlier, beginning of this year, I started Cove Telehealth for Women, really in an attempt to care for women better, to provide better health care for women in topics that are specific to and very common amongst women. So I kind of specialize, I specialize in thyroid and hormone. But really, the more I get into it, it really is providing comprehensive care. The body is all one thing. But kind of using that lens of thyroid and hormone function, because it is what makes us women. And so you can't really care for health without paying attention to those things. So,
and you know, and I was reading your history and I was looking through some of the things that were going on. Now you are an alumni from the Sparkman High School. So, you know, you're from the area, you know, a lot of people here, and we talk about those things. But one of the things that was interesting to me was that you dedicated, how many years? You got a master's in nursing, and you dedicated, what is it, 22, 23? How many years is it now when you were in nursing?
To my Sparkman High School 20-year reunion. So go Senators. So 20 years, I guess.
Wow. I mean, you went from that. Of course, you went to Auburn University, and I'm not going to say War Eagle, but, you know.
Hey, War Eagle. I heard it.
And then you went and got your bachelor's in nursing. So you got your bachelor's in nursing, and then you went to University of Alabama, Roll Tide, by the way. Birmingham. Birmingham. I get that right. And then you did. Yeah. And then you got, well, I just wanted to make sure I said University of Alabama in there. And then in Birmingham, just so you know. And then you got your master's in nursery. And then you lived in Atlanta for 10 years. What were you doing in Atlanta before you decided to come back? And why did you come back?
So many things. And that's kind of the short story, because I lived in Atlanta for several years. And then I actually did some travel nursing as a nurse practitioner, so travel nurse practitionering. I went out to South Dakota and worked in some Indian reservations at Indian Health Systems for a summer. And then I moved back and did traveling all around South Carolina, working in retail clinic, CVS Minute Clinic, and then came back to Atlanta. I never really had a permanent address during those travel times. And I really had just high job hopped. And it's funny looking at my resume, because I feel like the old days, and maybe some people would still look at it and be like, gosh, what's wrong with her? She's had so many different jobs. Yeah. But what I found is that every time I would go in for an interview, people were so impressed with the different types of varied experience that I had, that nobody was ever like turned off by like, well, why did you quit? And really the job hopping is what led me to opening my own business anyways, because we can go into that, but just not finding what I was looking for in working for other people.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, even though you job hop, you probably just got so much experience and you learned a lot about yourself and the things that you really wanted to, and that led you into this business. And it's a topic, I think, that a lot of people are starting to talk more and more about, or, you know, things are bringing, you know, on the forefront of like, there is something that's going on. And I think that we're more in tune to our bodies as women. And you had a personal journey with this too. And is that why you decided to go in this route? Did you, some things that were happening with you personally, you moved it into where you're at today. Was that the aspect of what led you here?
Yeah. Or? I mean, I really kind of summarize it as two converging paths. So in my professional path, really getting burnt out in healthcare, because of just the way that it's structured. It's just quantity. You have to see so many patients every day in order to make money for the practice that you're working for. And this is whether it's private practice, or for a lot of couples who own practices together, which I don't think is a great idea from my experience. And then I worked for larger corporations, and no matter where you're at, they just really push the numbers. You've got to see all these people every day in order to get the reimbursement from the insurance and pay for all of the office staff. And it, you know, it's not really their fault. They're not bad people. It's just that is the business model. And I never thrived in that business model. I really thrive when I can connect with people. I love educating and providing information. And I love being that listening ear and helping people to feel validated. And you just can't do that in 15-minute appointments. And most of the time, they were already mad at me when they walked in the door because they'd been waiting for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Not my fault. They just schedule too many people. And so it's really hard to connect and make a relationship with people in those environments. So I got really burnt out of that and actually left the bedside, as many nurses are doing right now, and started working for a public health consulting company in Atlanta. So for 3 years, I was a project manager doing health communications, a subject matter expert. Anytime it had anything to do with clinicians, they would bring me into a project, writing proposals, managing multi-million dollar budgets. You know, in nursing school, you don't do business classes. And fun fact, I tried to minor in business. I took 3 like intro to finance, marketing. I was so bored. I was so bored. I had to quit. So it's funny that I now end up here. But so that was kind of the professional route. And during that 3 years that I was working in public health consulting, getting all those skills to manage my own project, aka my business, I was facing my own personal health issues. So I had my son at the very beginning of the pandemic, February of 2020, and I was 35 at the time. And I have had a history of low thyroid that I got diagnosed in college or right out of college, grad school actually, and have really just been tired my whole life. Like I really, like by 2 o'clock every day, I could take a nap, and that's just normal for me. And I realize that's not for everybody. And so I had started, you know, dabbling in some of the, I went vegan for a while. I was trying to take supplements. I tried a gluten-free diet, dabbling in some of these lifestyle changes, but I didn't really have that formal training. Well, after I had Noah, middle of the pandemic, very stressful time, my hormones plummet. I've got an underlying thyroid, and now I understand an adrenal and cortisol problem too. And my hormones just went nuts. So even when I should have been recovered, I was no longer breastfeeding, time for those hormones to get back in check. Mine were just not. And it was hot flashes and night sweats that were just awful. Irritability. Did y'all know postpartum rage is a thing? So it was anxiety coupled with like just super angry all the time and just did not feel like myself. And, you know, going to the normal doctors, here's some antidepressants. Okay, I'll try that. Didn't really help. Here's some birth control. Okay, now I feel worse. Here's a different antidepressant. Now I feel really worse. And I was just like, okay, I got to go a different way. And, you know, I reiterate, like, no shade on these providers that are providing this, because that is what I learned in school also. But there is more out there, and it's called functional medicine. And it's a direction that medicine is going that really kind of looks at the root cause of things. And instead of just trying to patch the symptom, fix the dysfunction in the body. So I turned to learning about all of that stuff just to help myself. And then once I realized there's a whole new world out there that's research-based, evidence-based, very safe, I was like, okay, I gotta bring my personal and my professional together and offer these kinds of solutions and knowledge to other women who are going through the same thing as me.
You know, I say that, you know, one of the things I think you pointed out in just talking about that was like, the first thing was when we feel bad, we go to the doctor. And that's our first process. And then we go to the doctor again going, this is not making it better. Or, you know what I mean? Like we do that repetitiveness. And then at some point in time in our life where we go, okay, something's off, and you're trying to tell the doctor, and sometimes they're not willing to listen, or they don't really, you know, they're just like, okay, let's check this off and get you out of here. I think that people are getting smarter And I think mm-hmm. we're starting to realize that we need to be more in control of our health and why are we unbalanced? And especially us women, you know, when we get to a certain age, these transitions in our lives, you know, having children or not having children still affects our hormones or lifestyle changes, you know, the amounts of stress on our bodies, it wears on us. And I think we're much more sensitive to certain things, like even changes in the weather can also affect us. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I had a headache for 2 or 3 days and I could not figure out why did I have this headache? You know, I mean, I didn't do anything different. Right. But some of the things that you're outlining is that we're taking, I think, more control and we're starting to understand our bodies more. And these opportunities that you're giving us, like these hormone tests or just to see what's going on with us, these imbalances. Plus two, it's also teaching us to eat better, you know, because of all the foods that we're putting in our bodies. It's quick to go through the drive-thru and grab a hamburger. We are not eating the right kinds of foods. We're not actually nurturing our bodies like we should be, you know, but I understand where you're coming from. When you're sitting there playing the game of, let me try this, let me try that, let me try this. It's really good to go see someone that actually wants to spend time with you and understands or relates with you. And not saying that in any way, shape, or form, don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor, right? Still go to the doctor, but go get those second and third opinions. Yeah, find the person that's going to be relatable to you, right?
You really have to advocate for yourself. Nobody knows you like you know. And you have got to really say, okay, I'm not the first thing that I heard, the first answer that I got, it's not sufficient for me, so I'm going to keep looking. Right. And I mean, we have so much information at our fingertips, and obviously it can be confusing if you Google anything, everything's going to tell you you're dying. But using, you know, a lens, and like, we are smart people. We do lots of smart things. We can also apply this to health. And this is kind of the topic of health literacy that we talk about in public health is, do you know how to read, sort through, look at, and interpret health information? And it can be hard. And so I am a big advocate of doing that for yourself, but then also finding a provider who you can bring your findings to and talk about them with it, you know, so somebody mm-hmm. will be like, oh my gosh, I think I have this. And I'll say, okay, this is why I don't think you have this, or this is why this is not a likely thing that you have, but you're on to something, you know, and have more of an educating conversation and have that partnership for, you know, what, and it's not one solution for every patient. You can't just put everybody on the same plan. You have to figure out what's going to work for you, your lifestyle, your preferences, and have somebody that I see my job as providing information to people. And then what you do with that information is up to you. But my job is to figure things out, present what I know, give you the options and the opportunity, you know, to make those changes or take the medicine or whatever it is, but it's got to be a partnership.
Well, I saw that you offer services for girls I'm not saying just girls, but women, right? Age 19 to what, 64?
Yeah.
Right? And so your age group is, are you seeing, and maybe it's just naturally, a question that I want to ask is that, are you seeing that younger generation that is being affected more with hormonal imbalances than you see with older women? Or is there just an equal amount? Tell me what the percentage in your opinion is. Are you seeing younger? Or are you seeing older and that effectiveness when it comes to hormone imbalances?
In my practice, and I don't necessarily think this is a reflection on the general state of people's health, but I think just in my practice, I am seeing mostly, I'd say 35 to 55 year olds. And it's really this perimenopause period that is so difficult to get through. I also have a couple of 19, early 20 year olds. And I think that there is kind of a trend just from the medical community that I'm in of seeing younger women and girls experience worse and worse period problems and PMS and that. And, you know, it's always a question of, are we just more aware of it and we're more talking about it now? Or is it really abnormal? But You know, I say 19. I actually will see younger girls. It's just a bit of a legal. We got to get a signature from the parents and the kids because Alabama 19 is the age of, I don't know, adulthood, I guess.
Right.
And so, but you know, a lot of girls are really interfering with their life. They are having to miss school for a few days. Activities are not possible. You know, I don't want to get too, but you know, the periods and the bleeding through, like, that can be really life-changing. And I think the trend for the last 20 years has been, here's some birth control pills. And yeah, I used to do that too.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing and I'm learning and I realize that when you go on birth control pills, you stop your body's own production of real hormones, and it's replaced with this medicine that mimics your hormones, but it is not your actual hormones. And so you are actually, you're putting a girl on birth control at 15 or 16 before her periods have been able to regulate out, before her hormones have been able to normalize. You're stopping that possibility of ever doing that. And so then when you come off of it, when you're 30, 32, 35, you've been on these synthetic hormones for 20 years, and it's really causing a lot of problems getting our bodies back in shape, because every cell in our body has receptors for thyroid hormone, estrogen, progesterone, and we don't even know all of the benefits of these hormones, but they are vast. And so that's really why you see the difference. Aging is really a loss of hormones. You look at menopause and you start to increase the risk of all kinds of things, breast cancer, heart attacks, strokes, obesity, your blood pressure goes up, your cholesterol goes up. All of this happens with, you're not changing anything. You're just hitting menopause. And that is the lack of those hormones. And so we can really make a huge difference in quality and even longevity of life. A lot of people call hormones the world of hormone anti-aging. And it's not about getting Botox and looking younger forever. It's about actually functioning better and feeling better as you age.
Well, I mean, I kind of have a confession to make. I just had, because I started menopause during COVID, and I was supposed to went to see the doctor before COVID due to some issues that I were having. And I was not about to go to the hospital and go see a doctor during that time. I was like, no, I'm just going to wait this out, no matter how much pain I was in, you know, whatever. And then I went into full menopause. And then I just recently just did all my blood work, and my results came back, and I've got low hormonal, I got hormone problems. And then I've also got, I've just been, they just diagnosed me with, giving me some high, some low, a very low dosage of cholesterol. And so I'm going to see what all this is about, because I can tell a difference in my body in the last probably couple years. And my mood swings, my fatigue, you know, I'm not sleeping well. So some of the things that you even put in your list, I thought that was very interesting. You know, what are the signs? And of course, you know, we could read a lot into all of these lists. But however, if it's a consistency, there's something to be looked at, right? But sometimes it's like when you grew up, it was a lot of times it was like, suck it up, buttercup, you know, just go through it, you know. But now it's like, now there's opportunities to really address some of these issues. And I think that's true. But I did see where it says 80% of women suffer from some kind of hormone imbalance. That's a high number.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is.
I think that we're not doing, I think that, you know, I wish I would have known some of this earlier. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, we're so busy trying to be a mom, trying to be a wife, trying to, you know, run a business, whatever that may be, right? And that's so important. And I think that that's something that we have to really look at, is when we look at these warning signs. And, you know, one of them I wrote down was your menstrual cycles, right? And it talks about, I even wrote it down, that women's menstrual cycles typically range from 21 to 35 days. That's insane. And if it doesn't add up, and you can have a sign of hormonal imbalances, and this is when you go see, you need to ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't suffer from it. You know, because remember, I remember when I was going through these changes in my life, it was like, oh my God, so painful. So painful. And, you know, it was like, pop a Tylenol and you'll be fine, or drink some more water, or go lay down and just sleep it off. And, now it's like, this is something that we should be really talking about. And then the other one, hot flashes and night sweats. Well, hello. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I remember that was the first thing I did not like when I was going into straight menopause was, oh my gosh, the hot flashes. And yeah. I figured out there was like a trigger, you know, there was this like triggers that you're starting to realize, okay, why am I feeling this way? And then I realized that, and of course the weight gain, you know, the fatigue, but what I didn't realize is that fatigue can also be linked to depression. Yeah. And I did not realize that. And so when I was reading through some of these things, I'm like, wow, this is one thing. It's like a domino effect, right?
And it's like a chicken and the egg when you talk about all of these things. And so I'm always explaining to women, our traditional medical model is really set up for sick care. Once you identify a disease, and then how do you either get rid of the bacteria? So that's easy. You get an antibiotic, you're done. You do the surgery, you fix the bone, you're done. And then the rest of what traditional medical care does is like mitigate the risk. So like, oh, okay, you have high blood pressure. Here's a pill to keep the blood pressure down so that you don't have congestive heart failure. Or you have diabetes. Okay, let me put you on a cholesterol medicine and a blood pressure medicine to protect your kidneys. And so we're mitigating risks. But the traditional medical model is kind of like, you know, cause, effect, treatment, but not really getting to the root of the function of the body. And so when you're talking about wellness and health and living a long time, it's more of like all the cogs in the wheel is kind of how I see it in my mind.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sleep can throw off your hormones. Your hormones being off can throw off your sleep. Those things can lead to anxiety and depression, which then lead to worse sleep, which then affect your heart. And you see how it's kind of, and then you throw in metabolic dysfunction. So the number one killer of Americans, men and women, is heart disease. It's heart attacks. And, you know, I just mentioned all of those kind of symptoms of what happens after menopause. And so within this world, you also have insulin resistance, which is kind of like pre-diabetes is the way I call it. And your cortisol is that stress hormone, and that makes you hold on to weight, which then also throws off your hormones. And so it's all related, and it's never as simple as, oh, you have low this, here's a thing to take. Yeah. But what can be really cool is that women can feel very empowered to make changes. So you were talking about how horrible it was having bad periods when you were young. The few younger girls that I see, I have been impressed. They seem to be more paying more attention to themselves. Like I think there's been a lot of this, you know, mental health is talked about more than when we were 15 and 20. And they also seem to have more body awareness than women our age have. And one girl straight up told me, I think she was like late 20s. She was like, oh, I can definitely tell when I eat fast food and too much sugar, my periods are worse. And that is that's knowledge in the medical world, but most women don't put two and two together. And I think we were all raised in this idea of you diet to be skinny.
Yes.
And it's so hard to kind of shift our mindsets away from that into you eat healthy foods to feel better. And so if it's a matter of making these choices so that you have energy to get through the day and so that you decrease your risk of breast cancer, that a lot of times is actually more motivating to women than the same old, let me cut my calories so I can lose 10 pounds that we're just so tired of dealing with and fighting with for the last 20 years.
Yeah. You know, I think that's something so interesting is about, you know, when we talk about poor diet, you know, the stresses that we put on our bodies, all of these things could trigger those imbalances. And I guess talking to someone like you, they can take it and go, what's going on with your life and what's happening to you? And let's put it together and figure out what's the steps to take. I think it's such a great opportunity to really fine tune. But I think that I'm like you, it's like when you're so busy trying to live every day, you get up, you go, and you just do. We forget about who we are, bodies, trying to take care of ourselves. I think that sometimes we put ourselves last when we should be putting ourselves first.
I mean, I'm just
and I think that's
guilty.
So important.
I have, and you're, same.
I'm like, I mean, we're all guilty. I mean, I think that no matter who we are, I think, you know, we're so busy trying to help other people or do our job, and we tend to forget that we're important. And if we don't take care of ourselves as far as self-care, and that's such a popular word. Everybody's saying self-care, but do we really do it?
What is self-care?
We probably don't do it as much as we should.
Yeah. I was just talking to a patient this morning. You know, we were talking about this struggle, and it reminded me of a conversation I had last week. I did a mini workshop with some other women's health professionals in the area, mostly counselors and therapists. And we were talking about this issue of it's so hard to rest. Like, for many of us, just doing nothing feels like a bad thing. Like, you have to be productive every moment of the day.
Yeah.
And I mean, I am doing something or I am asleep, and I might read for 20 minutes before bed, but like, I'm always doing something. No wonder I'm tired all the time. Right. But the therapist had a great suggestion. She said what she talks to her clients about is doing scheduling active rest. And yes. I love that idea. Your eyes lit up. You've heard of this?
Yes. Yes. Well, I actually read an article one time because I had a really bad problem, and I still do to a certain degree, but I'm starting to tune in more. I mean, I've been doing this business now for 25 years or a little over now. And then the podcast was something that I really took on because I really loved it. However, I was working myself all the time. And I realized that even after my kids were, they're now in college, and I got into this business because I wanted to be home, raise my children, do just enough to pay my bills, whatever. But now it's like, I'm working more and I'm like, why am I putting my body, mind, and soul into this? Why am I? And I see people going on vacations and enjoying life. And, you know, I'm like, why am I not doing that? So I started realizing, so I ran across this article, and I'm doing more and more of it, where I'm actually scheduling, I'm taking my calendar and I'm scheduling. Now, this one, that she does it for a full year. She goes through her entire calendar for a full year. She goes and schedules time off throughout the whole year, certain times. And so now it's like, I'm actually blocking time off. And so I'll go through my next 2 weeks and I'll go, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm going to go do something for myself. That's what I do. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do something for myself. And it has been a mind changing, game changing aspect for me. Because then, okay, so I'm off the computer. I promise myself I will be off my computer at 6 o'clock. I'm now no longer working from six past that time on my computer. So if I can't get it first thing in the morning by 6 o'clock, it's going to go on my next day project work. I used to work all day until 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, and then I would eat, and of course, take care of my kids. So you have to take time off. And so doing that, putting it on your schedule and time blocking it is so important. It is something you've got to start doing. And I've been doing it more and more of it. I was really, really bad. And I realized that I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. I didn't enjoy life anymore. Of like, what? I felt the burnout. Yeah. Burnout was real for me. And so take that advice. And do take that time and schedule. Because when you schedule it, when you put it on your calendar, you're going to do it. Yeah. Even if it's like, I'm just going to go to the library. This sounds good. I'm going to go get a coffee and just go sit at the library for a couple hours. Yes.
That's active rest. So you're scheduling something. It's not, I'm just sitting on my couch.
Right.
You know, and I love this idea that there's different types of rest. So like connecting with other humans is really important. So maybe it's scheduling a walk with a friend, not for the purpose of burning calories and exercising and getting 3 miles in. It's just to be, you know, and relax.
It's healthy also for your mind and body. And we talk about these hormones, but the balance of that is that, you know, sometimes like it's just getting around people that want your company or want to be around you. It makes you feel good. Those feel good hormones of just people that appreciate you and your friendships and the quality of life that you're trying to give. And what does that energy that you're sharing between each other is really, really special. So yes, it balances all. And it also produces those hormones in our bodies too, that makes us feel good. You know what I'm saying? And so those natural aspects and those natural hormones, man, those, you can't buy that in a bottle.
Right. No,
you know, you can't buy that in the bottle.
There is a magic pill, and I am all about using herbs and supplements to support our healing, but there really is no magic pill,
no.
You know, for helping your adrenals recover and helping your cortisol come down. Like, you have to do that work. You're the only person that can do that.
So we talk about, okay, so I want to mention two things I want to mention about you, which I think you're just a wonderful person. And I met you through the WDC Foundation. Yeah. You're a mentor there, right? Are you still a mentor?
Yeah, I'm on my second scholar. So,
wow.
Mentor for, I guess, 2 years or a year and a half. And so I've been mentoring nursing students. WEDC Foundation is a wonderful organization.
Yeah.
In Huntsville. And you do amazing work for them too. Do you want me to talk about it or you want to talk about them?
Well, I mean, I do a lot behind the scenes. I do a lot of work for them to help give them provide the imagery and the branding I just redesigned their logo for them. And then I also help with the Women Honor Women, all the stuff for them and that.
Did you do the videos for that?
Yes, I did.
Those were amazing.
Thank you.
Those are beautiful.
And so I really enjoyed that particular program because it's such a great program for women. And I think giving back the leadership, you know, of being able to do something like that for women, just lets you know that it's okay to dream and build, that you don't have to stop in one section of your life. And you're actually an example of that, right? Because you went from traveling, you know, trying to find your way. And then here you are as an entrepreneur. And how was that being an entrepreneur? Have you learned a lot about yourself and what you do? Like, what
oh my
you'd
gosh.
Like to
do? I'm still learning. I feel like I'm such a baby entrepreneur. But yeah, the foundation is cool because I'm mentoring nursing students who are just getting their very first bachelor's of nursing degree.
Yeah.
And it's so eye-opening thinking back on my time as a nursing student. And
yeah.
One of the biggest things, I'm getting old, is like your idea of time. Like the 2 years that I was in Auburn's bachelor of nursing program, you do 2 years of like pre-nursing classes and then you're in the program and it's very intense with
yeah.
clinical hours and studying and you're working in the hospital. And I mean, it felt like forever. And then I went pretty
yeah.
straight into grad school. I wanted my nurse practitioner degree to get out of the hospital. Like, I just knew evening shifts and night shifts. And
that was just for you.
The hospital is very chaotic. It's,
yeah.
I've never worked in one that had a really great culture. And
yeah.
so I just knew I wanted clinic work. So I went straight into UAB. I think I was a nurse for like 6 months and I continued to work as a nurse while I was getting my graduate degree.
Yeah.
But it's really neat looking back and thinking how hard that seemed and
yeah.
how broke I was and all those things and you know, how far.
You just don't realize how, you know, back then, but you know, back then when you were doing it, just like when I was in college, I can remember, you know, I always had to buy my own groceries. I lived out on my own and paid my own way through school. I mean, yep. I can look back and go, I did that.
Yeah.
But I look back and go, how did I do that? Because now if
yeah.
I had to do that over, I don't know if I could. But the balancing of that is just that it's so fast paced. And for anyone that's in nursing, I had to commend you because nursing, it was never meant for me. Right. I can wipe my own children's behinds and put a Band-Aid on it. But I commend anybody that can be a nurse, can handle things like that. I give you 100% because bless your heart. I can't even imagine the things that you see and what you have to deal with emotionally. It's just heartbreaking for me. So
yeah.
I commend anybody that's getting to their nursing degree. I commend you because that's a tough field to be in.
It really is. And I think the thing people don't understand that's so challenging about nurses is it's very physically demanding. So
yes.
you're on your feet all day long.
Right.
I don't know if it's gotten any better, but when I was doing it, there were no real lunch breaks. You ate your lunch waiting for a patient to call you and you
right.
might have to go in there and clean up poop and go back to eating your lunch. You did not get to leave and check out for an hour.
Right.
Hopefully
right.
it's gotten
you
better.
You just guys, you never got that mental break while you were, it was so fast paced.
Yeah. And then there's the emotional part of it
yeah.
where people are sick and dying and miserable mm-hmm. and not always the nicest people to you.
Right.
And then the third part is academically. You have to be really smart to be a nurse. It is very
mm-hmm.
challenging. You have to know all these different medications, how they work. You have to assess patients alert the physicians when there is something abnormal or wrong. You are the closest ally to the patient while you're right. in the hospital. And then you're doing that for 6 and 8 patients at a time. And it
yeah,
is just
you go from bed to bed to insane. Bed to bed to bed yeah. to bed. Yeah. I've got some friends that are in nursing and I just bless our hearts. I mean, God, you know, I commend you. I just sit at my computer and do my work. It's stressful, but not near the stress levels. I can see, understand, why you decided to get into something. And two, the field that you're in is so specific and the need is so big now. It is such a specialty to know that you're paying attention to women's healthcare because we need somebody that's on our side that says, not just hand us a bunch of pills and say, take these pills. It's magic. It's going to make
you
feel better.
Come back in 6 months. Yeah.
Right. Come back in 6 months and we'll see how you go. And the balance of that is that, you know, they're not living our life. And so being someone with your specialty of taking it and nurturing it and really listening to those clients, I think really is that's a great balance to be in to do that. So, I think you're in a wonderful field. When I was reading some of the stuff that you were doing, I was like, wow, this is incredible because you don't really know that you're in bad shape until you go to read your stuff and you're like, oh, her list, she needs to stop putting her list out there that I can check that. So I want to talk to you about really quick. I want to mention everybody, listen, I had her introduce herself because I did not want to mess your name up because I think you're just an amazing person. And I'm from the South and sometimes we're not the smartest people in the world. Please don't hate me on that. But I'm from LA and we both are she's from Louisiana, which was so incredible. So tell us a little bit about your home, you know, growing up in the Louisiana area and what does it mean to be so you're from in Huntsville, you live in Huntsville. Do you ever miss kind of going home sometimes?
A little bit more about that. So I think it came up because my last name is Garbarino, which is an Italian name. And I said, well, actually, the Garbarino side of the family is all from southern Louisiana. I was actually born in Texas. So that's where my parents are from. And so we're, you know, kind of around the South. But then I've also got family from on different sides of the family, New York, Canada. So it's kind of interesting because a lot of times people are like, you don't have a Southern accent, which I think I do have. I have a little bit of one, but not as much as some folks. But it's just because my
probably me
extended family is so eclectic. And, you know, I've got military. And so we kind of moved. My people moved all around, but I grew up in Texas until I was 10 and then moved from Texas to Alabama. I went to Madison Crossroads Elementary, MXR out in Tony, and then Sparkman High School. And so really Alabama is home, like since yeah. I guess it was fourth grade. You know, I've been in this area. When I graduated, I was very much like, I'm getting out of town. I'm going to do something bigger and better. Yeah. I went all the way to Auburn.
And then here you are right back.
Yeah.
You just, it's like the boomerang. You just came right back.
And I lived my life and I explored and I traveled and,
it sounds, you know, very intriguing. Yeah. You lived a very good life.
It was fun. And then it was just a different phase, right? Yeah. Where it's I got married, had my son. During that time that I was dealing with those health struggles, I just really needed my mom. You know my mom, yeah. Teddy.
That's right. She's a wonderful lady too, by the way.
She's a wonderful woman and wonderful mom.
She shoots
mom.
It straight. She's one of those that just shoots it straight. She just says, I think she's one of those that just says, if it comes to her head, she's going to say it.
And so, I get that from her and we both get in trouble for that sometimes.
No, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's all good. I mean, why hide your, you know what I mean? Just be honest. I think a lot of times that's the one thing that we forget sometimes. Like, I'm not saying to do things to be mean, but I do think we try to sugarcoat things way too much. And I think it's just really good to be honest. And I think in the field that you're in, you've got to be honest, right? You have to be honest. You can't sugarcoat that mess. And so I think you're in a great field to be that. So I want to talk about, so I know we're kind of running out of time and I know, but this is, I love everything about what you do. And I think it's so healthy and I think it's so needed. Tell people how do people get in touch with you? How do they start connecting with you and setting up an appointment with you to talk to you about what you do?
Yeah, great. So, if you just want to dip your toe in the water, follow me on Instagram or Facebook. It's at Cove4Women with the number four. And so I post on there a little bit. And then my website is covetelehealthforwomen.com. Part of my approach is to really make this patient-centered care, which to me means I do everything in mind with what's best, easiest, most convenient for the patient. And so I have self-scheduling online. So you can do it at 9:30 at night, sitting in your bed. You can go on there, find your time slot that you want, go ahead and schedule. You'll get automated emails with just a little bit of paperwork to fill out. I actually read that paperwork. It's not just fluff that I make you fill out for torture. We go through it together on the call. And I do, our first two meetings are hour-long appointments because it's really important for me to hear the whole story, get everything that's going on with your health. You have plenty of time to tell me everything that's on your mind. I ask a bunch of questions, and that's really important. So they're hour-long appointments. And if you have any other questions, feel free to connect with me. There's a, submission form on my website, or you can just reach out to me with my phone number. It's fine too.
Well, I just want to say thank you for coming on the podcast today. It's just very interesting because it's good to start talking about all these things. This month is all about, breast cancer awareness, mental health. I mean, there's a lot of wellness going on here. And so being that you're part of that, just continue to put that out there. And she does some great, you do some really great videos too. So
Thank
your
you.
educational aspect, you're just bringing it to the more you do it, the more impressed I am with that.
Just
I just want to tell you, thank you so much for our podcast, and I hope that you come on soon. And it's such a pleasure to see you. You're such a wonderful individual, and I
You're
can't
so
wait to see you
sweet.
again. Thank you so much.
Lovely connecting today. Have a lovely afternoon.
You too. Thanks.
Okay.
Welcome to our 2 minute take on today's podcast that we did with Andrea. Let me tell you, understanding those things that are happening with your body is such a must. Really understanding what we should be doing. And we talked about transforming women's healthcare, and that is such an important aspect. So it's not such a trend anymore to follow the latest trends, but also understanding what is our body doing. What is happening within us that we can manage and no longer having to suffer through that is so, so important. When we were younger, we just were told, suck it up, buttercup. And now we're understanding that it's not just, something to suffer through, but it's actually our body is telling us something and we should be listening to it more. And I think that's so important. The podcast that I did with her was really just enlightening. It reassures you to know that you're not alone in this battle that you're dealing with. And you can be 19 to 64, and the changes in your body are always happening. And so understanding those things, especially your hormones, knowing how to channel that to balance that, I think is so important. And I think that was something that we really wanted to talk about in this podcast. And she's from this area. She's creating connections, but also she got the experience by traveling and knowing exactly what she wanted to do with her life. And that's helping other women. And I think I commend her on that and really taking that up a notch by really taking it with her own personal journey and things that happened to her. She translated that over into a business that is just amazing. So really, honestly, I commend you for that. And knowing the fact that, just the things that I'm going through, I don't feel like I'm always by myself. And so surrounding yourself around other people that give you the great energy that you need, but also doing the active rest that really means something. So what a great podcast, a lot to learn. I really appreciate it. So let's talk about today's sponsor, Just Imagine Coaching and Consulting, the owner of Lori Fitcher, who's absolutely amazing business coach. When you get into business, sometimes we kind of get lost. We don't really know what to do. And that's when you need a business coach to help you level up. And that partnership is absolutely a must. So she helps you develop the skills, the goals, and develops that accountability for your business. So you know what your next steps are so that you don't feel lost in your goals and aspirations when it comes to the business. So if you want to reach out to her, justimagineconsulting.net, that is justimagineconsulting.net, that's Lori Fitcher, and set up that appointment. It is worth it. You would not lose out. Get up with Lori. She is an amazing business coach, and she will help you do what you need to do to level up.